The story of Jonah is one of those stories that we hear very early in our Christian lives. If we have been going to Sunday schools or we have been going to youth clubs and youth meetings, we hear the story of Jonah very early. In chapter 1, Jonah is running away from God. In chapter 2, Jonah is running towards God. In chapter 3, which we have just now read, Jonah is running for God. And soon in chapter 4, Jonah wants to run God. Okay? So that is the problem in this book of Jonah. And right at the outset, the book of Jonah is not about Jonah, it is about the God of Jonah. And we need to remember right from the beginning that this is not a story that was written for us that in some lazy, boring afternoon when we would be bored, then probably when we will read the book of Jonah, we will feel entertained and the afternoon will somehow swiftly go by. But there is life lessons for us, and the title of my sermon to you this morning is City Dwellers or City Changers? City Dwellers or City Changers? Do we live in this world or do we change this world? That is the issue. Are we just people who come and go from church, or are we people who are taking the Great Commission to the corners of our lives, our families, our communities? City dwellers or city changers? And you might be sitting there and saying, you know, but I am only an individual, what can I do? The interesting thing is this, that God is involved in bringing down individuals so that they can bring down cities. That is the story of Jonah, isn't it? He brought down one person so he could bring down a city. And do you know, you might be sitting here and thinking that you have got a very important job, that it is all about your career, that it is all about what you are doing. But can I tell you and remind you once again that it is not. It is about God and His purposes in this world. And do you know, the most important thing is your obedience to Him. That is where I want to take you this morning with this story of Jonah. City dweller or city changer? Now Nineveh, verse 3 says, was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Whenever we study God's word, family, whenever details are mentioned for us like this, they are for a purpose. Do you know what does that mean? That means it is an impregnable city. It was a city of great might, of great economic and cultural reputation as well. It was impossible to besiege this city because you couldn't get an army around this big city. What does God do when He looks at that big city? God decides not just to besiege that city, but He decides to bring it down. How? Bring it down through the army of one. Through an army of one. Can you imagine, family of God, how much is riding on your obedience today? How much is riding on your obedience today? If you obey, simple obediences lead to significant obediences. Significant obediences lead to radical obediences. Radical obediences lead to life, world-changing obediences. Don't think that one day you are going to wake up and you are going to say, I am going to bring a revolution for Jesus in this world. It begins with what? It begins with small obediences. How did God bring down a city? He did it by taking down one man. Then He made that one man into a city changer. You know what does that mean? That means you and I can become like Jonah into city changers, into people who can change the world for Jesus. The question I have for you this morning is, what are you living for? What are you living for? Are you just living for to get an education? And after you get an education, to get a good career? After you get a good career or during that time to get married? After that, when you get married, to get children? And then for your children to get a good education, and then to get a good job, and then to get a good house, and then to get a good retirement, and then to get a good holiday? Is life all about just this? Isn't it interesting that everybody lives like this all around the world, and people are extremely bored, and they do not know where meaning in life will come from? And when you have achieved everything, that leaves you empty. Is the cycle on which we live: goals, achievement, euphoria, emptiness, and then that cycle goes on over and over again in our lives. Is there anything, family of God, that you are living for that is bigger than you are, that grips your heart, for which you are willing to lay down your life? Is there a cause that you are serving today that is so big that unless God steps in, it will not be a success? Let us consider how God transformed Jonah into making him into a city changer. And my hope and my prayer and my desire is that the end of this talk today, the fire will be lit in somebody's heart here today. The recognition that God has not called you to live an ordinary life and then retire, and then play endless games of golf, okay, as if you will go to heaven and first tell God your handicap in golf. That would be the first thing you are going to tell God. No, life is much more, much bigger, and much more meaningful than this. My first point to you this morning is, let us consider God's persistent grace. What do we find in the life of Jonah? God's persistent grace. Why I said persistent grace is he persists with each one of us. He does not give up on each one of us. What does verses 1 and 2 says? Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Okay? You know what happened the first time. It came the second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh. God says, Jonah, I am ready to send you to Nineveh. But do you know, as if when you read this complete history of this story and put it in the context of this story, it does not make any sense, because Jonah has recently let God down badly. And you know, in our own lives, many a time we look at ourselves and we think that God is done with us. We think, how can he use me with my habits? How can he use me with my choices? Can I say this to you? We are talking of a God of persistent grace, because Jonah has recently let God down, yet God asked him a second time to do the same job. It is not unusual for God to work like this. It is not unusual. It is called the Jonah principle. What is the Jonah principle? Life out of death. It is seeming failures. Are you listening? Seeming failures that make us much more useful in God's kingdom. The evil one wants to say to you, you are an utter failure. How can God use you? It is seeming failures that make you useful in God's kingdom. Jesus talks about the Jonah principle in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. He says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus is explaining the Jonah principle. He's saying, you will know who I am by my weakness. You see, it's a counter principle to the way that the world operates. How does the world operate? The world operates by power. How does Jesus operate? By weakness. You will know who I am, not through my strength, but through my weakness. It is out of my death that people are going to receive eternal life. Isn't that interesting? Family of God, failures and sufferings make you useful for the Lord. God works like that. Suffering makes you a servant. It happens in everyday life. You might be saying, you know, as soon as you hear from a speaker who comes and says to you that you can be a city changer, you can be a world changer, you can change the face of this country for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what you start saying? Oh, you don't know my handicaps. You know I'm not articulate. I'm not as educated as you think. I am not as confident as you are. You have the gift of the gap. You can come and stand and speak in great articulation and can encourage us to do that. But when I speak to people, my hands sweat, my feet shake, my voice quivers. Family of God, if we call out our disadvantages, there are many. If I tell you my disadvantages, there are many. But do you know, here is a God who takes our disadvantages. And do you know what he does? He changes them into advantages. How? And uses it for his glory. I was an abandoned kid on the streets of Delhi. I was abandoned by my father. I had no chance, I had no future, I had no hope. I was rescued by a first generation Muslim convert grandfather who taught me the love of Jesus, introduced me to the Bible. God can use you, whoever you are, whatever your circumstances are. God can use you for his glory. In Christ Jesus, our bad turns out for good. Our good can never be taken away from us. And the best is yet to come in our lives. God's persistent grace, it takes suffering, trouble, and failure to make us a servant. And it is also suffering, failures, and troubles that humble us, that make us approachable, that makes us compassionate, that makes us identify with other people's brokenness. And that is what God uses for his glory. Suffering and failure, family, does not automatically make us life changers. But what we do with our suffering and failures, when we take our suffering and failures inward, we become depressed. We become dependent. We become poor me. But what we do with our suffering and failures is very critical. If we take it to the Lord, then he takes those sufferings and those failures. And what he does is, he uses it for his glory. Every problem we have ever come up against will make us into a better person or a bitter person, depending on whether you do what you do with your failures and suffering. Does anybody this morning here thinks that they are a big failure, too big a failure for God to ever use you? Can I encourage you? God uses the Jonahs of this world, the runaways, the rebels. God uses the Peters of this world who blatantly deny that they ever knew him. God can use you. God has used me. I want to say this to you this morning. Don't waste your sorrows. And don't waste your failures. It can make you into people changers. Let it drive you unto Him. Let it drive you to compassion, servanthood, and humility. Don't let it drive you into bitterness and self-pity. God does not give up on any of us, and that is His persistent grace. He did not give up on Jonah. He will not give up on you. He never gave up on me. He continually loves you, helps you, comes back to you, uses your failures and your suffering, making you into a people changer. Family of God, are you just dwelling in this world, living in this world, or are you changing the world? City dwellers or city changers? My second point to you is that God calls us and then He sends us. He calls us, and many of our journeys just finish there. It is impossible for the journey to finish there. He calls us so that He can send us out. When God comes back to Jonah the second time in this chapter, you know what He says? He has just been spewed out of the belly of the fish. Can you imagine the trauma of being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights? God does not come and take to him, you know, comes to Jonah, and He says to Jonah, "Jonah, you had a very traumatic experience, okay? Jonah, I want you to go and take a month's break, okay? Go to a seaside resort, okay? Get some energy back, you know, get yourself together again, spend some time in meditation and prayer, okay? And come back, and then I'm going to send you." You think God is uncaring over here in the way that He is dealing with Jonah? He says to Jonah, "Up, arise, and go to Nineveh." He said, "But what about the change of clothes, Lord?" He says, "Arise, go up to Nineveh." Family of God, do you realize what's happening over here? Mission, world mission, to be a people changer, and to be in mission is not for the well-rested. Mission is not for people with time. Mission is not for people without time. Mission is not for people with money. Mission is not for people without money. You know what mission is for? Mission is for the obedient people. Did you hear me? It is not for those who are procrastinating. It is not for those who are saying, "I am underqualified or unqualified or overqualified." Mission is for those who are obedient. "I will obey, Lord. I will go where You send me." Robert Duff, a young man who was brought up in this part of the world, in Belfast, as a young man, when he received a call for North India, what did he do? He obeyed, and he came to North India. In 1954, his obedience led to the establishing of the Delhi Bible Institute. The establishing of the Delhi Bible Institute, one center, led to the establishment of seven centers. Thousands of churches now, and over 50,000 men and women who were equipped in this time. Did you see what I'm saying to you? I said to you, how much is riding on your obedience? Do you realize that? A lot is riding on your obedience. But you are saying, "Insignificant me?" No, you're not insignificant me. You are the son and daughter of the King. And when you obey, you get connected to His power, to His commandment, to His commission. And when you are obeying Him, I cannot tell you the amazing things that are going to happen in and through your obedience and in and through your life. Our God is a calling God. He calls, you obey, you come, and then what He does, He sends you out. And when he says to Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh. Do you know what God is saying? God is saying to Jonah, Jonah, understand who I am. Understand my character. What he's really saying, do you see who I am? If you want to know me, then know this. Sending is part of who I am. I will send you. I might send you across the oceans, but I might send you across the street. I might send you to the next door. I will surely, surely send you. And do you know, that can make some of us very uncomfortable. You mean to say I have to go and open my mouth and talk to others about Jesus? Don't you realize that we live in a post-Christian Europe? Don't you realize that people are not interested? Do you know you have not opened your mouth? You have made the conclusion already that people are not willing to listen. You'll be surprised how many people are waiting for you to share. One young man from a high-caste Brahmin Hindu background. Why I said Brahmin was because Brahmins are not supposed to be saved. They are saved already because they are gods in the Hindu mythology and religion. He went to do his PhD to the West in a university right from the city of Delhi. And he was 2 years with professors and fellow students, many of them who were Christians. After 2 years, one day his professor said to him, what are you doing this weekend? He said, nothing. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying. He says, a long weekend. So the professor said to him, would you like to come and spend time with me in my home? My family is gone also, but you can come and spend time. He was with the professor that weekend. And that professor said to him, do you know, I have a little Bible study that happens in my home. Would you like to join on a Saturday evening? He says, I would love to join. That evening, he was saved. And after he was saved, he went to his professor and he says, you puzzle me very much. He says, why? He says, you had this great truth with you for 2 years and you never shared it with me. You knew this truth for 2 years and you never shared it with me. And he says, after 2 years, you open your mouth and you tell me that there is a way of salvation. He says, I've been confused all my life who God is, till this evening when I have realized that Jesus is God. This man came back and he's a man on fire for the Lord. Do you know when God spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, leave everything and go. Do you know what he said to him? He says, I'm going to make you a blessing. Why he's going to make him a blessing? Because he had the right suit, he had the right perfume, he had the right stride, he had the right personality, he had the right gait, he had the right stature. Absolutely not. He says, I want to bless you so that you will be a blessing to the world. Do you know why he has blessed you? Do you know why he has blessed you with whatever you have? So that you would be a blessing for the sake of God's kingdom. And the verse that I'm talking to you about is Abraham's great call in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. He says, I want to make you a blessing so that you are a blessing to the world. That is the reason. He has saved you so that you will go and share the gospel of salvation to the rest of the world. God says to Abraham, I am a sending God, and therefore go. Do you see the principle? God never blesses you except to make you a blessing. God never heals you except to make you a healer. God never restores you except for you to go and be a restorer yourself. Do you realize the whole impact of our salvation? Jesus, many years after Abraham, many years after Jonah, left his ultimate glory in heaven. He hazarded everything. He gave up everything. He paid every price possible in order to come and reach, in order to come and get involved, in order to transform the world. Other people tried to kill him. And family of God, why I said that and why I'm stopping at that point is because when you will obey, when you will go out, don't expect that everything will fall into place. Expect for you to be attacked. Expect for you to be killed for the sake of His kingdom. Today, as I stand before you, family, I have colleagues and I have students and I have some very, very dear friends today who are not with us. Why? Because they were obedient. Because they were obedient. These are men and women who did not consider their life worth living if it was not in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Family of God, what are you living for? What is the purpose of your life? The question is, are you living for a schedule this week? Your career, your hobbies, your goals? Are there places in your life where you are intentionally making yourself uncomfortable? Are you intentionally making yourself uncomfortable? Are there places in your life? Are you intentionally moving out of the familiar, out of the comfortable? Are you intentionally making yourself financially uncomfortable? Do you think that this life is about your comfortable retirement? So you should give all your strength and youth to the point of your retirement, so that you can then have your dream holidays and your dream ball games. Family of God, this is a calling God. This is a sending God. He is persistent in His grace, and He will and has not given up on any of you. And in the next 3 minutes, I will talk of God's strategy and try to finish, because 3 minutes, my time is over. You know, here is God. God calls us, then He sends us. Why? He sends us where? God has got a city strategy. Do you see over here? He sent Jonah to which? To where? To a city. The power of God makes you into a city changer. Nineveh repents and turns to God. Verse 6. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and when the king of Nineveh heard the news, the word of God says, he repented. He further called and he made a decree in verse 8 that everyone has to fast and repent before God. This is a dream of every sociologist, politician, social worker, counselor, the whole city repenting and changing. If only the people of the city would turn from their evil ways and their violence, so the oppression, crime, racism, and all the problems of the city would end. Don't we dream a scenario like this? Why do you think the book of Jonah has been put in the scriptures for us? God sent Paul to the city. And do you know, at the time God sent Paul to the city, when the Roman columns, they marched, the world shook under their footsteps. And here is a very ordinary man stands in front of these Roman columns. And do you know what he says? He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Where are the Roman columns today? Do you see how much was riding on Paul's obedience? And the churches then that were planted in Asia and Europe as a result of that obedience. I want to ask you, family, right at the end, what are you doing in this city? What are you doing in this town? Do you merely use it? Do you feel like you were sent and called here? Then for you to serve it, until you have that attitude of obedience and service, you will not be a city changer. God's strategy to change the city is through repentance. How will the repentance come? You know what the scripture says? How will a city repent? How will Bangor repent? How will Belfast repent? It says, if my people, who are called according to my name, what will they do? If they humble themselves, seek my ways, obey me, then what I'll do? I will relent, it says, and I will heal their land. Family, do you realize what is writing here on our repentance and on our humility? God loves cities because these are strategic places. That's why I intentionally said that when I was talking to you. We have a city strategy. And our strategy in Delhi Bible Institute is to go and plant these churches and these discipleship training centers in the cities of North India. One of the cities God put on our hearts was, we heard the statistics of a city and of an area in North India, and it was Uttar Pradesh, the northern province. And we heard that Uttar Pradesh has got 205 million people, and the Christian population is 0.01%. It is not even 1%. 0.01%. And do you know, when our church heard those figures, they were not merely figures. We said as a church, what do we do about these figures that we heard today? Are we going to do anything about it? Has the Lord called us to change the city? And we repented, and we fasted, and we prayed. I do not come from a charismatic church, because whenever you hear the word fasting and prayer, you always associate it with one particular denomination. But no, we fasted and we prayed. And do you know, we fasted and prayed for 10 years till the time the Lord took us there. And we said, life would be useless, Lord, unless you use us in changing this vast demographic area. And the Lord heard our prayers, and He took us there. And do you know, in the last 10 years, we have been able to plant over 300 churches and equip over 20,000 men and women in that city. City dwellers or city changers? It all depends on your and my obedience. And if you say to the Lord today, Lord, use me. You know, the most radical prayer you can ever pray in your life is, Lord, use me. It's the Bartimaeus prayer. I don't want to be left blind, sitting on the side of the road, begging the rest of my life for healing, for deliverance, for provision, for this, for that. Lord, I want to see. I want to see what you can do through my life. And do you know what? The Lord will take you and start using you, because He's a prayer answering God. He will take you and He will start using you for His glory. Will you be a city changer? Will you be a world changer? Will you be a people changer? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that this word, which has gone out in all human weakness, would result in fruit that will bring great delight to God and will result in people hearing the gospel and their lives being changed. We give you thanks. In Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.